You are listening to AFL Tonight, presented by ArenaFan.com.
Of AFL Tonight this week. Haven't had time to really do a lot of the stuff that I want to do, including doing the podcast. So what am I doing? I'm actually doing this from the road as we're driving home. And joining us, even if just to say hello, is my lovely wife, Karen. Say hi to everybody. Hey, everybody. Hey, that was a lot better than our test. Thank you very much. So either I'm going to be saving bandwidth, or I'm going to be saving gas. I'm sure they're not going to be saving gas, this little POS that I'm driving right now. Either way, as long as I don't get killed, right? Right, yeah. Okay, week 13, one of the strangest weeks on record that we have ever seen in the Arena Football League. And it just shows that anything can happen in any particular week. It just all, you know, remember we went over last week, we went over the specific playoff scenarios, totally blew them out of the water. Totally out of the water. But there's more to talk about, obviously. And we will get back to week 13 in a couple of minutes. Besides that, as usual this week, we are going to also talk about 8-ball scoring. Scoring took a huge hit this past week. One of the lowest weeks that we have had in the average week's point per game we've had in the AFL in a long, long time. Weeks-wise, at least. Also, as you may have recognized, coming in from the music playing us into the show this week, Huey Lewis in the news. Well, Huey Lewis in the news is in the news. What a great way. No? No? Okay. As you may or may not have seen, Huey Lewis, you know, the league is going to be coming out with some stuff when it comes to the Arena Bowl in New Orleans this year. Well, so happens that Huey Lewis in the news is going to be playing this year's extravaganza concert. Great idea. I think it's one that I will actually stay for. And if that's the case, that's cool. Either way, I think it's going to be neat. But Huey Lewis in the news, pretty big name. The league does try to get some big names when it comes to whether it's like the extravaganza as it was started last year or halftime. Also, we happen to see now that Miss America is going to somehow be a part of the pregame show. What is she going to do? She's going to be kicking balls from the 25-yard line. No, she's not. She's going to be twirling a baton. She's going to be telling us where all of the states, all the capitals are every 50 states. Maybe. Maybe we'll have to go back and check what she did to become Miss America. I don't know. Either way. Woo, Miss America! Question is now, who is the league going to announce as their halftime show? It could be anybody. You know, last year, pretty good, you know. Was it last year? That's how good it was. Also, that's why when you're talking in a car and don't have your cheeks in front of you, it's a little bit hard to do. But, hey, it's something that we're trying to do. Maybe a one-time thing. Hey, look out for that car in front of you. Huey Lewis in the news, I think it's a pretty good idea. I think the show last year went quite well for the extravaganza. I don't think many people really care that had to do with the Arena Football League. As long as there was somebody to talk to, as long as there was a free concert for them to be able to listen to. You listen to the news? Ivan Miles is going to see Huey Lewis in the news when I first moved to Montreal. And they canceled their show. They were really good back then, too. So, it's probably a concert I'm going to stay for. Also, Adrian McPherson, haven't you signed as a long line of either former CFL players or current CFL players who have played in the CFL? He has signed recently with the Montreal Alouettes, which is pretty good. Supposedly he was on the Montreal Alouettes negotiation list for at least, maybe since, May or June of last year, if I remember correctly. Smart idea. Adrian McPherson is a good quarterback, but yet there's also the talk of blah, blah, all these negative people.
The number you have reached, 445-8988, has been disconnected. 445-8988 has been disconnected. No further information is available about 445-8988.
Wow. Hey, I think that's actually our first blooper. I really like talking, and all of a sudden, the way that we're doing it, through the answering machine, my voice over IP, and again, all of a sudden, my time limit runs out. That would be a very strange way to do this show over and over again. And anyway, we're talking about Adrian McPherson joining the Montreal Alouettes, and how some people, at least in the Montreal media, are looking at it as, well, here we go. Here is another player who's had some legal problems, and is joining the CFL. Well, you have others. You have Ricky Williams. There's one. And you also have, the Alouettes actually did sign another player, and Ward Dunn, if I remember correctly. I'll double-check as soon as I get home. Either way, interesting. It was an interesting sign for the Alouettes. But as an NFL player, he was a rookie of the year. And then he had sort of in and out, went to the NFL, came back to the Arena League, and he never was the same. I mean, now, mind you, did he actually get the chance that he could? He said it was a problem with the personal problems, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Either way, I really did not see McPherson getting that far when it comes to his CFL career. The reason why is this. Starting this week, Sunday, the Montreal Alouettes start their 2008 camp. McPherson is going to be one of seven quarterbacks on the roster. Seven. Remember, there are only two preseason games in the CFL. And with Anthony Calvillo being their number one, and Marcus Brady currently as their number two, it's a little bit hard for McPherson to get any rest. Now, mind you, he could be converted from quarterback to another position. Usually don't see that occurring much in the pros, I'll take that back. You do see that. It's a matter of converting them and learning the system. But it can be done. Either way, don't see him making it pass that much with the Alouettes. Same thing with, what was his name? Quincy Morgan, but not Quincy Morgan. Anyway, player was playing with the Shreveport, Bossier Shreveport battle wing. I'm going to remember. Anyway, either way, interesting to say, I don't think I'll make it pass much when it comes to the Alouettes training camp. So that is it for this current segment. We will also be talking about, as we have promised, we're going to go over the defensive, another one of the defensive salaries. We're going to break it down, check into what we did. The information is very, very minute when it comes to maximum players for salary. It's not as exciting. We'll also go over kickers. You think kickers are a dime a dozen? Well, considering how much they're being paid, I'm not surprised. So we're going to head right back now to live Jim. Take it away, Jim.
And thank you very much to Tape Tim. Yes, this is live in a... Wasn't that unique? Did y'all think I crashed? Yeah. It wasn't done on purpose. We were... It actually really did happen where the... what we were using, it cut out. So we had to... Anyways, unique idea. Quincy Carter, by the way, was the quarterback that I had mentioned who was playing with the Shreveport... the Bossier Shreveport Battle Wings. Going back to Adrian McPherson, currently there are 30 active players on AFL rosters who have played for some time in the CFL. It's usually one way or back. There have been some before the two seasons actually overlapped. They were played for both. And one of the ones that really stands out, who was also Montreal Alouette at the time, is R. Cal Truluck. Played for the Alouettes. He also played for the, Detroit Fury. Frenzy Fury. Not the Drive. And, Fury. But, you know, either way, just wanted to mention that. But, to continue with what we were talking about, it was a very, very wacky week three. And I don't think anybody, as I mentioned before, I don't think anybody could have seen what actually happened. And it did. I mean, first and foremost, Philadelphia fumbling on the last play of the game when they were on the goal line against Kansas City. New York losing to Columbus. Utah stunning Chicago. And Georgia's hot right now. One of the hottest teams in the league, but, you know, what has happened to the New Orleans Voodoo? Totally has dropped off the face of the earth. But, you know, they will hopefully be able to redeem themselves and get back into the race. But nobody would have thought that it would have done this. And I don't know. I said it's one of the weirdest weeks that I have seen in a long, long time. I think what we're going to do before we continue, we do have, as I said, we have 8-Ball and we have the scoring update. And obviously, we were also going to be talking about paid players, top 10 paid players when it came to defense, and as I mentioned before, kickers. I think they're a dime a dozen. You'll see how much they're being paid. We're quickly going to take a quick break. You are currently listening to AFL Tonight.
When you're watching the AFL, ever wish you could do the play-by-play? Now's your chance, thanks to official arena football sponsor Russell, the world-renowned supplier of sports apparel. Wants to pass you the mic and hear what you've got. The winning call gets a trip and VIP passes to Arena Bowl 22. Plus there's a bunch of other prizes like signed footballs and amazing Russell stuff. Look for the Russell display in your favorite sporting goods store, then go to RussellPassTheMic.com to play. Listen to some calls, then record yours. That's RussellPassTheMic.com. Check it out.
Check it out, and welcome back to AFL Tonight. I am your host, Tim Gapper. As we were talking about, past couple weeks, we've gone over the rankings for best paid players, salary wise in the AFL, and we are on our final leg. As I had mentioned, I'm very surprised of all the defensive players, you know, whether it be, especially the defensive line. It seems like the defensive line players, there's not very many that are paid, let's see here, not very many that are paid over 60,000, really. But, let's see, we have our kickers, let me see here. It was O-line this week, actually. kickers. As I mentioned, dime a dozen. And, you know, you have a couple of kickers in the league that have been around for more than 20 years. Been around for more than 10 years. One of them being Remy Hamilton, one of the most accurate kickers in AFL history. And then, it would be nice if I could find the information. What? Can't believe you fellas gave me this information. Here we go. Kickers. Remy Hamilton, Steve Vidatek, and most of them have, you know, average seems to be less than 4 years. You know, Clay Rush. But of all these players, you know, as an example, as I said, Remy Hamilton, one of the best kickers in the history of the league, is only making $30,000. Dan Franz is making $35,000. That's peanuts. The average seems to be anywhere between 28 and 29,000, which is the league minimum. Very close to the league minimum. I guess, you know, even right now, one of the best kickers so far this year, AJ Hoglund, is only making 29,618
to be exact.
Sorry, 616. So, I guess when you have coaches like Coach Tim Markham, the only reason why I'm talking about Coach Markham is because it has happened before. A kicker does a very, very piss poor job. You get rid of him. You sign a rookie. You're not losing very much money because of that particular, you know, that particular issue. They're not worth that much. Where are the other stats? Kickers. I'd mark them specifically. Oh, this is embarrassing. Back to wide receivers. Nope. And you would think this is something that I would have been able to. And everything was all together, I tell you. You know, both ways, and it seems to me when it comes to linemen, seems that players who played both ways are actually getting the most money. As an example, Ernest Allen for Georgia is getting paid $110,000 a year for 2008. B.J. Cohen, $90,000. Jermaine Smith, $110,000. Henry Taylor, $105,000. But after that, offensive line players, the most that we've seen, is approximately $70,000. You know, I guess you play both ways, you work more, you get more money. You're wide receiver, quarterback, you are the bread and butter. And when it comes to kickers, you are literally, as I mentioned already twice, you're a dime a dozen. You're cheap. So they can keep switching you. If necessary, obviously. Don't want to go in and kick somebody off the team, you know, if it's not really necessary. But, you know, if you don't kick, you know, you are gone. And that's exactly what it is. You'll be gone. Yeah. So that's it. I hope you enjoyed the little walk down the AFL payroll. I guess that's the best way to talk about it. Have any questions concerning any particular player, you can email us over at AFL Tonight, and doing so by heading over to the new and improved show page, clicking on the email us, let us know your player, and we'll be more than happy to let you know specifically on what he is making for 2008 only. Got to keep something for next year. Right. Mentioning before, 8-ball and scoring update. As I had mentioned in the pregame, this is one of the most... This is one of the lowest scoring weeks since week 11 of last year at 96.3 points. And then besides that, it goes back, is the lowest total points, average points, since week 10 of 2006, where they averaged only 95.7 points. So this week, it was 8 games and only 768 points scored, with an average of 96 points flat. 96 points. I was looking at the scores and we were adding them up, and it just did not make any sense whatsoever, but it said it right there. That's exactly, I guess you have, I don't think it's parity. It has nothing to do with it. Scoring has been up all year. You just have teams, you know, New Orleans, 29 points. There's a good example. You know? Teams are, one game can throw everything off. The highest point total this past week was 67 points. And that was Dallas. All the losing teams averaged about 45 points. Philly, 47. Cleveland, 48. Orlando, 41. New York, 41. Chicago Grand Rapids, 48. Colorado, 42. New Orleans was the lowest point total of the week at 29. Yeah, there are bad weeks, yes. It has anything to do with the defense? No. Quarterbacks are still passing like maniacs. And they will continue to do so, but it had nothing to do with it. But, you know, one bad week. That's really all it was. One bad week. 8-ball. This week, good 8-ball beat us all. Very simply put. Bad 8-ball sit exactly where it's been the entire year in the crapper. I mean, really, really bad. 6-2 on the week for the good 8-ball, 3-5 for the bad 8-ball. Overall, good 8-ball is at 60-44. Bad 8-ball is at 39-65. It is coming down to the stretch, though. Adam, the guru, has 65 wins. I have 60, tied with the 8-ball. So, like 2 years ago, the good 8-ball is actually within striking distance. So, we'll see what happens over the next couple of weeks. I mean, we are at week 14. So, see, what else is there that we can mention this week? And I do want to apologize for getting this podcast out later than normal. It's just one of those things that I could not control. But I want to go ahead and thank everybody for still listening to us. Remember at the beginning of the season that the Rattlers were possibly going to be losing about $5 million because their owner made a guarantee that the Rattlers would make the playoffs. If not, he would refund all season ticket money. Well, this week, Arizona can actually clinch a playoff spot this week with a win. And thus put to bed this entire promotion. All they need to do is win. All they gotta do is beat their Atlanta Predators. That's all you gotta do. They're currently 6-6. But it can be tough. Atlanta's been up and down, so, and they are still the first place Rattlers, first place pair of Predators. But more than the Rattlers, three other teams can clinch playoff spots this week. Now, besides Arizona just winning, there are other ways to do it. With a Colorado loss, Kansas City loss, and a Utah loss. Well, that could easily happen too. Colorado loss, Kansas City loss, Grand Rapids loss, and an LA loss. So if Utah doesn't lose, then Grand Rapids and LA can lose. I'm sure they just want to win. Chicago can clinch home field advantage in the American Conference with a win and a San Jose loss. San Jose can clinch the Western Division in a first round bye with a San Jose win and an Arizona loss. Dallas can clinch a playoff spot with a win, with a Tampa Bay loss, or a New York loss, or an Orlando loss. So, win and in. Philadelphia? Obviously, they can't win this week. Can't bet for or against Philadelphia because they have their bye week. But they can still clinch. How? With a Cleveland loss? Or a New York loss? Or an Orlando loss? Or a Tampa Bay loss plus a New Orleans loss? Did you get that? If not, you can go over to we have it on our press releases over at arenafan.com. So, what else do we have? Well, we do have the schedule this week. What's that? Okay. Schedule this week. Obviously, the big game next week probably will decide the Eastern Division with Philadelphia and Dallas. But this week starts off with Columbus at New Orleans. New Orleans has lost, I think it is 5-6, and have been playing horrible. They could possibly miss the playoffs because of the amount of teams that will probably have 5-6 losses. Columbus is one of those teams on the outside looking in. Yes, they're still in contention, but the hopes are slim. New Orleans needs to get... It's a short week, but New Orleans needs to rebound. I've been saying this all year, and it's been coming to bite me in the butt. New Orleans needs to win, and they do have a pretty good chance to do so. It is Columbus. Georgia-Tampa Bay, huge implications, for Georgia at least. It is a Southern Division matchup. And Georgia coming off that stunning win. So 22 straight points on Monday. Dallas and Cleveland. Good Eastern Division matchup. Dallas trying to extend their lead to a full game over the Philadelphia Soul. Because they have their bye week. Arizona, as I mentioned before, winning in. Orlando is trying to extend their lead over the over not only Georgia but also New Orleans too. Chicago, Kansas City. Okay, Kansas City, as I mentioned, pulled off one of the hugest upsets. Chicago was a huge upset. Probably means that Coach Owensy is going to be, and the players are going to be very, very ticked. Would not be surprised if the Rush come out and to totally dismantle the Kansas City Brigade. LA San Jose? Ooh, this sounds like a blowout, but all games that we have called here at AFL Tonight, the blowouts this year, I've been just the opposite. Utah Grand Rapids? This is on Sunday. Could have a possible chance. Utah's been playing better of late. Lastly, on Monday, New York travels to Colorado New York was one of the hottest teams in the league up until recently. They need to win, period. It's coming down. Three more weeks? Who would have thought? Three more weeks the playoffs start. Nuts. Either way. That is it for us this week on AFL Tonight. I want to thank everybody for who has joined us. And again, I do apologize for being so late in getting this podcast up. But we wanted to make sure that we got the show to you either way. I thought what we did was actually quite interesting. And maybe we'll try it again in the future. So currently for everybody here at AFL Tonight, I am Tim Capper. Have a good week. And watch the rebound off the net.
If I had $1 million,
if I had $1 million,
well, I'd buy you a house,
I would buy you a house.
And if I had $1 million,
if I had $1 million,
buy you furniture for your house,
maybe a nice Chesterfield or an ottoman.
And if I had $1 million,
if I had $1 million,
well, I'd buy you a K-car,
a nice Reliant automobile.
And if I had $1 million, I'd buy your love.
ArenaFan.com, the Internet's complete arena football resource.
Mission Control, 2049er, transmission concluded.